We're continuing in our series today called Own It. Come on, somebody say, Own It. We are learning to stop making excuses for not having the life that we want to have and to stop blaming others for us not experiencing what we feel like God would want us to experience. We're learning to own what we can do. Our theme verse for this series is found in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, where we're learning to work out our own salvation. And it's been a wonderful series. And as we get ready to look at today's talk, we understand that in life there are some doors that we need to close if we're going to own it. And there are some doors that we need to open. Last week, Pastor Herbert talked about closing the door on poor stewardship. It was a great message. If you missed it, you can jump online and check it out. And today, I want to talk to you about opening a door to see God move on your behalf. Anybody ever been locked out before? Maybe locked out of your car? Wave at me if you've ever been locked out of your car. You locked your keys in your car. Oh, what a miserable feeling, isn't it? That moment you realize it, that moment you go and you try and... Oh, it's just a horrible sinking feeling. Anybody ever been locked out of your house before? Come on, raise your hand. All of our campuses, just raise your hand. Been locked out of your house before? You're stumped. You're stunned. You're like, what do I do? How am I going to get in? It is a frustrating feeling. It's a miserable feeling when you are on the wrong side of a locked, closed door. When I was a youth pastor years back, we were going to take our students on a missions trip. And to prepare for the trip, I went ahead on a planning trip. I was going to go plan it all out, come back and train the students and then take them. So I was on this planning trip and I was looking at the different sites where we would be serving. They showed me the place and I stayed in the place where we would be sleeping. And I thought, man, the students, this is going to be a little hardcore for some of them. They're going. This is a real missions trip experience right here. I was eating at the places and eating the meals and getting that full experience. And they said, and this is where the students will shower if we have water that day. And if we do have water, just know it's not going to be hot water. It's going to be cold water. And so I was like, whoo. The students are about to get a wake-up call, like, oh, get out. Well, I was experiencing all of this, right? So I wasn't sleeping so great at night. I was eating this food, and let's just say dietarily, I wasn't feeling all of that great. And then after that, hadn't been really showering. And so, you know you stink when people can smell you, right? Like you come and they smell you before they see you. But it's even worse. How many of you know when you can smell yourself? Have you ever been that stinky before? Like, you're just like, man, I stink, but everywhere I go, I still smell me. Like, you can't get away from it. It's just bad. And so I was tired. I wasn't feeling so great. I stunketh, and I wanted to get back to the United States of America. And so I got to the airport only to find out that my flight was canceled. I was like, this is wrong, Lord. All I'm trying to do is serve you. I'm trying to build the kingdom. And I can't even get back to America. Found another flight. And if this flight, if everything went perfectly and I got back to DFW, another time to make a connection, I could get home, but it's going to be a tight connection. I took the flight, and as we were flying, if you've ever flown before, at times you can get stuck in the dreaded holding pattern. Have you ever had that happen to where you can see, oh, there's the airport, we're getting close now, and then they kind of do a circle. You're like, oh, okay. Oh, there it is again. Then you do another circle. You ever had that happen before when you're flying? And so I had like 20 minutes left to land and get to my gate. I was like, oh, come on, just land. This thing kept circling. Oh, about only 10 minutes for me to get to my next gate. Oh, still circling. Only about, I was like, somebody hand a brother a parachute. I'll just jump out, get me off this plane. I don't want to spend the night in DFW. I want to get home. We landed. I had about 5 minutes to get to my gate. If you've ever had to connect while flying, you know this is how it works. If you have a lot of time to make your connection, you have so much time, you don't know what you're going to do with all your time. Your creative thoughts are going towards, how will I kill 3 hours? What am I going to do with all of this layover time? What happens is they will land you at gate A1, and your connecting flight is gate A2. 2. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say that story? You know exactly what I mean. Now, here's what else happens. If you have a very limited time, you don't know if you're going to make it. Your blood pressure is climbing. Your heart rate is increasing. You're going to have to run as fast as you can. The powers that be get together and say, okay, we see what he's up against. We're going to land you at gate A1, and your connecting gate is gate Z 4.3 billion. So I'm thinking, I'm going to have to book it. We land, and I've got to go from whatever it was, A1 to gate Z 4.3 billion. And I lost all social awareness. I was that guy running through the airport, running over women and small children and not even caring, just running, trying to get, my legs started burning. My head started pounding. But I thought, if I die, I die. But I'm not going to sleep in DFW tonight. I got to get home. And so I kept running, kept running, kept running, kept running, kept running. I was having trouble breathing. I thought, I'm about to pass out. I was running, running, because I had to make it. I could see gate C, 4.3 billion in the distance, and I could see the last few people were getting on. I was like, I'm going to make it. Woo! I was so encouraged. I just kept on, and I saw the last person get on. The flight attendant closed the door just as I was coming out. I said, hey! Woo! I was close. Oh, man, I made it. I'm on this flight. And she looked at me and she said, I'm sorry, the door is closed. Most of the time in my life, I'm proud to be a preacher. But there are some points in my life, it's really inconvenient. Because I had a few things I wanted to share with my sister. And I said, I just saw you. It wasn't my fault, and y'all did it. And here I am. And I mean, and she walked off as if to say, this conversation is over. Whoo! What I was thinking was, I saw you close it. Now I'm going to watch you open it. Like, I wanted to tell her what I thought. And what made it worse is I could look through the window. There's the plane. I know y'all not going to leave 15, 20 minutes. I know what's going on. And she just opened that door. If you've ever been on the wrong side of a locked door, whoo, it'll get you. It'll get you. You know, sometimes that happens in life. We're on the wrong side of a locked door, and we're thinking, if I could just get this door open to God's blessings, if I could just experience a breakthrough. And I want to suggest to you today that you may be praying for a miracle, looking for a solution, hoping for a breakthrough, and your miracle may be closer than you think. But in order to experience it, you will have to own your opportunity. Go ahead and tell your neighbor right now, say, you have to own it. Go ahead, tell your other neighbor right now, you just got to own it. You got to own it. I want us to look today at Acts chapter 12, and I love this story. This is one of my favorite stories in all of the Bible, and you'll see why in just a few minutes. This story is awesome. It is a powerful story. It's not only powerful, it is hilarious. Like, if when you read your Bible, if you never laugh, you're reading it wrong. How many of you know sometimes God will just slip something funny in there? You ever been reading your Bible and you read and you just thought, that's just funny right there. That's going to happen in this text today, in this passage. It is an incredible story. Let me give you some context and then we'll jump into it. This is in the book of Acts, and the book of Acts tells the story of the launching of the church, the birthing of the church, the starting of the church. If you're ever like, I wonder what the original church, when it all started, what the early church was like, you'd want to go to the book of Acts to see what it was like. And in the early days, the launching of the church, those who chose to follow Jesus faced a lot of opposition and persecution. And as we catch up with this story in chapter 12, we're going to see that King Herod had arrested James, one of the influencers in the early church. He had arrested James and had James executed. And when he did, his popularity skyrocketed. He saw the people liked that. And so he thought, well, then I'll do some more of that. So he proceeded to have Peter arrested. That's where we catch up with the story. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, it says, so Peter was kept in prison, look at this, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Are you glad that you're a part of a praying church? I am. I'm so thankful that I'm a part of a church that is committed to praying. We've started off this year 21 days of prayer and fasting. This fall, we'll do 21 days of prayer and feasting. We have people who, staff members who get together to pray on a regular basis for the needs of the church. We have church family and staff that come before church starts on Sundays at each of our campuses and pray over the services. We have people who pray during the services. I thank God that we're a part of a praying church. For Peter, it says that he was in prison, but his church family was praying to God for him. Verse 6. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Sleeping between two soldiers. That'd preach right there if we had time. That's a whole sermon by itself. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sound asleep between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Verse 7 says, suddenly. Come on, somebody say suddenly. Come on, shout suddenly. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrist. The angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. Think about this. I know that an angel is with him, but how many of you know, even if the angel is with him, Peter's still probably tiptoeing. Like you're in jail, awaiting trial, about to be killed. You know what already happened to James. You know you're about to die, but your peace of the Lord is with you. You're sound asleep. An angel gets up and says, put your shoes on. What? Yeah, put your shoes on and come with me. Okay, but he's still tiptoeing, trying to get out, not get caught. And Peter, we're talking about Peter who walked with Jesus, who saw miracles, but this is so beyond natural. This is so beyond belief. Even Peter thought this must be a dream. Verse 10 says, they passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. An iron gate. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly, somebody say suddenly, suddenly the angel left him. I want to take just a second to share two quick thoughts about these two suddenlies. Because there will be times in your life, like with Peter, in a situation, peace, even in the midst of it. Because how many of you know, no matter what you're going through, that you can still have peace in the midst of your storm? You don't have to be freaking out. You don't have to be worried about the next morning, what's to come, what am I going to do, how is this going to work, how am I going to make it? You don't have to be freaked out. You don't have to be stressed out. You can have peace in the midst of your storm. In the middle of his trial, suddenly, an angel shows up. Have you ever been in situations before to where you knew without a doubt nobody could convince you? Otherwise, you just knew that God just showed up in your situation. Come on, wave at me if you really believe it. Do you really mean that? You were in a situation where God provided, God protected, God delivered, God showed up. He did something, made you shake your head and think, that must have been God. I'm convinced that was God. It was a supernatural, just like with Peter, divine intervention. God did something. It's as if all of heaven converged on your situation, and as you're coming out of it, you just sense the power of God, the presence of God with you. There are suddenlies like that that happen in our lives, and then there are other suddenlies. Suddenly, the angel left him. I'm sure that Peter probably preferred that the angel stay with him. I don't know how far, it says one length of the street. I don't know how far it would take for him to feel comfortable, but for me, it'd be a little bit further than whatever the angel was planning to do. I'd be like, hey man, can you just one more block? Can you get me just a little more space right here? Can you get me just a little? Matter of fact, could you just go with me to the prayer meeting because they're not going to believe me? I'd love for you just to be just for a few minutes, then you can peace out, but just to come let them know I'm not making this up. But it says, suddenly the angel left him. And I think that God teaches us on our way to owning our salvation, owning the opportunities that God works and steps into in our situations. He wants us to own our part, knowing that there are some moments to where suddenly will come that is supernatural, divine intervention, supernatural. And then there are other moments that God calls us to work it out in the most super normal kinds of ways. We don't hear angels singing. We don't sense all of heaven with us. And you may be there today to where you're calling out to God and it seems like God is silent and it seems like that God has left you. I want you to know that God has not abandoned you. You're not on your own. God is still at work even when you can't see him, feel him, or hear him. I want you to know he's just allowing you to grow in your faith. Sometimes we're called to walk by faith, not by sight. That's what it looks like to own your salvation. So Peter had a couple of suddenlies, and we do too. Let's keep reading. It says in verse 11, then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. He got out of jail and made a beeline for the prayer meeting. Smart move. It says in verse 13, Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. Rhoda. Good old Rhoda. Righteous Rhoda came and answered the door. They're there at the prayer meeting. They're calling out to God. Oh, God, would you deliver Peter? Oh, God, would you set him free? Oh, God, would you just help him? Lord, we're praying for him. We know that you love him. Lord, they've arrested him. They killed James. They're going to try and kill Peter. They're having a prayer meeting. Peter makes a beeline for the prayer meeting. He gets there and the door's locked. So he starts knocking on the door and good old radical righteous Rhoda peels off from the prayer meeting and goes to the door. When it says in verse 14, when she recognized Peter's voice. So obviously there's some conversation going on here, right? So Rhoda peels off and she comes to the door. She probably says something like, hello, yes, who is it? Rhoda here, how may I help you? And then on the other side, you got Peter knocking on the door and he's like, Rhoda, it's me. Peter, can you imagine in that moment, they're calling out to God. Oh, God, deliver him. Rhoda hears a knock at the door. She peels off and goes to the door. Who is it? It's me, Peter. Oh, my word, this is incredible. Opens the door up, embraces him. She's so excited, except for that's not what happened. This is where it gets funny, y'all. Y'all just got to track with this. He's knocking on the door. A servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, look at what it says. She was so overjoyed. Look at what she did. She ran back in without opening the door. Can you imagine what Peter must be feeling about right now? It was easier to break out of jail than it is to break into the prayer meeting. I got a locked door. I had chains fall off of me just a few minutes ago. Now I can't get Rhoda to open the door. They're all praying. Rhoda peels off. She comes to the door. Who is it? Who's there? Rhoda, it's me. It's Peter. Could you let me in? Oh, my word, Peter, this is unbelievable. This is great. Is it really you? Yes, it is me. Would you please open the door? Unbelievable, Peter. We've been praying for you. We've been calling out to God for you. Yes, thank you for those prayers. Would you open the door? Oh, Peter, this is unbelievable. Can you imagine what Peter must be thinking? And guys, it gets worse. She was so overjoyed. It says that she ran back into the prayer meeting. And look at what it says. She shouted to everybody, "Peter is at the door." And look at how they responded. "You are out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." I cannot believe what's going on right now in this story. They're having a call out to God, seek the face of the Lord, spiritually wrestling, fighting for the deliverance of Peter, and they're calling out to God. "You're the same God." Come on, you know that they were praying it before we started singing it. "You're the same God. Oh, God, would you be with Peter? Oh, God, would you deliver him? Oh, God, would you set him free? Oh, Lord, just like you were with Moses, Lord, you can be with Peter. Oh, God, just like you were with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, God, you're the same God. You can deliver him. Oh, God, would you do it? Oh, Lord." Rhoda said, "Hey, everybody, Peter's at the door." "Oh, God, huh?" "Peter's at the door." And you know what they said? Rhoda's tripping, y'all. Rhoda has lost her mind. "No, I'm telling y'all, Peter's at the door." Well, listen here, Rhoda, because, you know, she is newly saved. Let's cut her some slack. She's still working on it. She's still figuring all this out. Look, if you think it is Peter, it must be his angel. I'm like, wow. Calling out to God. And then when God does it, we think, well, that ain't true. The only thing between them and the answer to their prayer was a door that they just had to open. And I'm convicted because I don't know how many times I've been praying to God, calling out to God, asking God for his help. And he's like, "Oh, I'm moving. Oh, I'm doing stuff. Oh, Scotty, I'm at work. I'm doing supernatural stuff you don't even know about yet. I just want you to own your opportunity. I just want you to own your part. I just need you to open. I brought it all the way right here to you. If you can just pause your spiritual prayer meeting right now. But, oh, God, I need a miracle. I don't have time to stop praying. Oh, God, I need a breakthrough. Oh, God, I need deliverance." And God is saying, "All you need to do is go and open the door." What an incredible story, and there's so much application. Let me just give you three quick thoughts, and then we're going to wrap up. Number one is this: you open your door when you pray it open. How do you pry it open? You pray it open. Listen, church family, you can do more than pray after you pray, but you can't do anything more important until you've prayed. You pray, you call out to the Lord, you pray for your marriage. Go ahead, pray for your situation at work. Do it. Pray for your kids. Pray for your health. Pray for your finances. Call out to God. There's power in prayer. You believe that? There's power in when we pray. Remember, you got to know things are more spiritual than we realize. You have to understand that things happen when we pray that won't happen if we don't. We must pray. It should always, always start with prayer, but you don't have to stop there. Let me give you a second thing. Number two, you open a door when you take your next step. Somebody say, next step. You always have a next step with Jesus. None of us have arrived. You've prayed, you've asked God for help. Now begin to worship him. Now begin to thank him. But I haven't seen the breakthrough yet. I haven't seen the answer yet. You've been seeking God and calling out to God. Move from a place of simply petitioning or requesting and now move into a place of praising and thanking him. You can celebrate it before you see it. You can thank him for it before you experience it. Why? Because he's a good God and a faithful God and he's worthy to be praised. Even when you're still walking through it, you've been praying for the right person, Mr. Right, Miss Right, to come along. It's good to pray for that, but now begin to work on becoming the right person. God, what's my part? He's wanting you to grow in your work ethic. He's wanting you to grow in your character. He's wanting to develop you to be the husband you need to be the wife that you need to be the future parent that you're going to be. This is not passive time. This is not idle time. You're not stuck at a door frustrated, locked out, left out. No, he just wants you to do your part. You're like, but I don't need to work on me. I just need a wife. And he's like, well, I'll do the miracle of bringing you a wife, but can you do your part and brush your hair? Taking a practical step, own what you can own. You're praying for a miracle in your finances. You're needing God to provide. Take a step, open the door. What can I do? I can start tithing. Start living below my means. Can have a budget. I need a financial miracle, though. I need God to do something supernatural. And God says, oh, I can do the supernatural. Just want you to own your part. Take your next step. Do what you can do. And God doesn't need you to turn water into wine. But when he asks you to fill up the jars with water, do it. He doesn't need you to feed 5,000 people. But if he asks for your fish and your bread, trust him. Do what God tells you to do. Because on the other side of your practical step of obedience, I'm telling you, there's a supernatural blessing waiting for you. And if you say, but Pastor, I'm doing all of these things. I've gone to Growth Track. I jumped on the dream team. I'm praying. I was a part of 21 days of prayer and fasting. I'm doing everything that I know to do, but I have not seen my breakthrough yet. Then you got to do what Peter did. You just got to keep on knocking. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. Don't panic. Don't stop. Just keep praying and just keep knocking. How many of you know that God is still in the business of suddenlies, and he can send it in a way and in a time that you least expect it, but God will always come through. Third and finally, you open a door when you invest and you invite. See, sometimes the door that we're needing to be opened and we're needing to step into and do our part to open it, sometimes it's a blessing that God has waiting for us. Sometimes God calls us to open a door that will bless somebody else. For a season, I lived with my grandmother in Jackson, Mississippi. I lived with my mamaw. And in our home there with mamaw, my uncle J.K. lived there as well. He was the oldest son of my grandparents. He had severe disabilities. He lived with my grandparents and just my mamaw after my grandfather passed away. Lived with my mamaw his entire life. And so we just loved Uncle J.K. He really couldn't communicate. He didn't talk. But I'd just sit down. I'd hang out with Uncle J.K. and I'd just do all the talking. You know, I'd just talk to him, tell him about my day, and catch him up on everything. Every now and then he'd kind of look over at me and back. So I just love my Uncle J.K. And he was so predictable because he had the same exact routine that he'd do every single day. So at any point in the day, I knew exactly where Uncle J.K. would be. In the morning times, he'd wake up and he'd go and stand by the refrigerator. He would just stand there until time for breakfast, and he'd mosey on over to the table for breakfast, and he'd have breakfast, and we would get done with that. He liked to go outside and sit in the glider, but he loved to end his day in his favorite chair watching television. Oh, he'd just sit there, and every now and then, if you knew he's having a really good time, he'd kind of just smile just a little bit, like, oh, Uncle J.'s he's having fun right now. He's like that. Look at it. He's just smiling. That came in handy, him being so predictable in that routine. One night when I got home, it was late in the dark garage trying to get in, and the door was locked, which was a big deal. That was back in the day where we didn't lock the doors, and, you know, just to get it. I didn't have a key. I never needed a key. Doors never locked. My mama didn't lock the door. I didn't have a key. And this night when I got home, it was locked. I knew I had a problem. Because I was like, I don't even know. And there's no way I'm going to be able to get to my mamaw. She wouldn't hear if a tornado picked this house up and lifted it and put her somewhere else. She wouldn't wake up. She wouldn't know it. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then it hit me. Uncle J.K. is seated in his chair watching TV right now. That's not too far from the door. If I can just get him to come and unlock this door. And so I knocked. I said, hey, Uncle J.K., it's me, Scotty. Can you come open the door? I listened. Nothing. He didn't budge. So I talked to him again. Hey, Uncle J.K., can you come unlock the door? Nothing. So I started imagining. I was pretty sure that There in that moment, he was confused, probably scared, probably didn't know what to do. I believe he recognized my voice, but he just wasn't so sure if he should trust it. And he probably wasn't even sure like exactly what I was needing him to do, but I thought if he can just come over here. So I was like, Uncle JK, if you can just walk over the door, I can explain to you how to unlock it so that I can get in. And I heard a little bit of shuffling. And I thought, is he running? Is he going to bed? Where's he going? And then I heard the doorknob kind of rattling. I heard the deadbolt click and unlock. And then that was it. So I tried it, opened the door, walked in just enough time to see him getting back in his chair and sitting back down. I was like, oh, Uncle JK, thank you. So I was so proud of him. I loved on him and thanked him. I was happy for him, but I was happy for me that I didn't have to sleep in the garage that night. Now, here's the reality. I told two stories of personal experience with closed doors. And in one situation, a person who had complete ability just to go, come right on in. Plane's ready for you. You got here like 3 seconds after it closed. Let me just, there you go. Had the ability. And I know what it felt like when they didn't, when they wouldn't. And I also know what it felt like when somebody had to get out of their comfort zone, had to move beyond their fear or their confusion, had to do something that was challenging for them, but for my sake was willing to do it. And you've probably been there before as well, where someone stepped up, wasn't just thinking about themselves, but did what it took to open a door for your benefit. Have you ever had that happen before? Somebody stepped up for you? And what I want you to know is that sometimes the miracle is just something I feel like I'm needing in my life. Sometimes the miracle is as I'm just trusting God and walking with God in peace, even through the midst of whatever I'm going through. If I will do what He's placed in front of me to do and I will open the door, someone else will experience a miracle and I get to be a part of that. You and I get to do that even this Easter season. Easter coming up, this is when more people are more open to come to church than any other time of the year. There will be thousands upon thousands of people across America who say yes to Jesus this Easter weekend. When that happens and you and I have a chance to be a part of it, there are people that you know at your work or in your family, your neighborhood, or apart from God, and they just need somebody who would love them enough to come and open a door, give them an invitation. I say invest and invite, because instead of just going, do you want to come to church with me? How about starting off with taking some Krispy Kreme to the office? How about taking a Starbucks to a friend? How about encouraging somebody who's going through a hard time, say, hey, I'll be praying for you. I know that you're caring a lot. And so you're investing in that relationship. You're building trust. And so whenever it comes time for the invitation, man, they trust you. There's a closeness there. So invest and invite. Maybe when you go out to eat, you'll take some of the Easter cards that are in your seats with you today. You'll take those invitation cards. And at the conclusion of your meal, leave a good tip. Leave a good tip. Leave a really good tip. Because don't put this card down like, here's a tip. Go to church. No, don't you do that. Great tip. Say to the server, it's been great having you. Thank you for serving us so well. We've been so pleasant. Hey, we go to People's Church. I don't know if you have a home church, but I've got this invitation. I'd love for you to be my guest. You have no idea the door that could be opening for somebody's eternity. Step into it. See what God would do. See the miracle on the other side of that. Invite friends or family. Tell them, come to Easter with me. And after the services, we'll go out to eat and I'll treat you to lunch. Listen, you don't know who will show up for Easter when free food is on the line. God could use you to open the door for somebody else. Sometimes we think we're waiting on God. I believe that there are a lot of times that God is waiting on us just to open the door. Can I pray for you today? Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many of you by an uplifted hand would just say, Scotty, today my heart has been stirred and I know that God will do His part and I'm committed to opening the door, to owning my own salvation, to owning the opportunities. I'll step up and I'll do the practical things. I'll do my part. Come on, raise your hand all over the room at all of the campuses. Yes, we'll do our part. I want to pray for one other group before we're done. Those of you who'd be here today and the reality is you're away from God. You know you are. not walking with God. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to Christ. Maybe you did at one point a long time ago, but today you find yourself away from God. I want you to know that no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how many mistakes you've made, listen, you are one sincere prayer away from God changing you, cleansing you, giving you a fresh start if you'll just reach out to Him. As a matter of fact, if you'll just pay attention to it, you could sense right now that God is knocking on the door of your heart. He will come in and change your life. All you have to do is open the door of your heart. Say yes to Him. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to be the King of your life, and you can leave today knowing I'm right with God. With heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, I wonder how many of you by an uplifted hand today would say, Scotty, that's me. I need to commit or recommit my life to Christ. I want to go to heaven instead of hell. I want Jesus to come into my heart. If that's you, come on, would you raise up your hand and I'll pray for you all over the room. Just raise up and say, yeah, that's me. Come on, hands are going up in every single section. Just say, I'm not right with God, but I want to be. I want to commit or recommit my life to Christ. Anybody else, before we pray, come on, just slip it up. Say, yeah, that's me. Come on, let's all of us pray this prayer together. Mean it with all of your heart. Say, dear God, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Today, I surrender my life to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and be the King of my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.